Yeah, I certainly think a week off would be welcome by management players alike. I think they need to really regroup, get some extra work on the training ground. It's difficult being a part-time club in this league. I think we spoke about that at the start of the year, that, you know, as the league went on, that wears you down, that sort of week in, week out, you're playing against really, really good opposition. So I think they a week off to recharge batteries, freshen the mind, will do them no harm whatsoever.
And this weekend, the only game on in the Premier Division saw Bray Wanderers beating Galway by 2-0. Now, Bray have been in the lower regions of the table most of the season. Ollie Horgan amongst those who felt their position was perhaps a little bit false. It looks Longford are pretty much gone. They're 8 points adrift. Then you have Wexford Utes who've been blowing a little bit hot and cold. And Bray, as a result of that win last night, well, they've put together a good run of late. And indeed, on goal difference, superior goal difference in Finn Harps. Harps have now dropped 2/10 in the table. Not so many weeks ago, Harps took 10 points out of 12. It looked as if that 30-point mark was very much in sight, and they've now hit this slump and have a little bit of work to do, and they still have to travel to Wexford, which is going to be a huge game.
Yeah, Chris, to be honest with you, I think, you know, after they came back after the break and they picked up the good couple of points, I thought at that stage they were really, really safe. And I think you're right. I think Bray suddenly have turned into a bit of form, and Wexford used to be picking up points. Now, I think Bray's situation, you know, with the management change and with all at the club at the start of the year, obviously didn't help them, but they've always been experienced in the Premier Division, and they seem to, whatever way it happens, to sort of get their survival and stay in the division, and that's coming to the fore now. I think the big advantage that Hearts have is obviously Wexford Youths are 5 points behind them. You know, Bray and themselves now are at 23 points. As you say, Bray are in a bit of form. I think it's really important. That Wexford Youths match is a massive game because, you know, if Hearts win, then they're not going to be caught. But if they don't get the 3 points from that game, then certainly it will galvanise Wexford Youths for the last few games of the season.
Yeah, that Harps Wexford game, as far as I know, I think it's the second last game of the season. That really will be the cup final for both those sides in many ways. Harps do have two games in hand. They've Longford Town at home coming up shortly. So the hope will be that maybe going into that Wexford game that they already have secured their top flight status, or at least have a reasonable cushion.
Yeah, that's, you know, they want to be safe. But my only worry for Harps is I think they still got to play Dundalk, they still got to play Sligo and Shamrock Rovers, and they're all going to be very, very difficult games. So really, I've been looking at their fixtures, and you're wondering just where the next point is going to come from. So it'll be a case of, I think I've said all along, you know, their big games were against Longford, against Wexford, and against Bray, and I think Ollie has to stay firm, keep the players believing, and make them realise that, you know, if it has to go to that Wexford game, and if they have to win that game to win, well, then that's so be it. It'll be a cup final, but the rewards will be well worth it. It's just a case of trying to keep everybody, all the noses pointed in the right direction, and keep everybody focused on the job at hand, which is finishing just 1 point above Wexford Youth. That would be a tremendous season.
Yeah. The signing of Rory Keating was widely welcomed for Finn Harps. Ryan Curran, David Scully, Kevin McHugh, BJ Banda was on the bench there for the last game, didn't get on. But scoring has been a problem. Harps have only scored 17 goals. Indeed, Longford, who are at the bottom, they've scored more goals than Harps. Harps and Bray have been the goal-shy teams. And it's interesting, if you look at Wexford Utes, I was speaking to Brian DeSalvo, who's watched most of Wexford's games. Wexford play an open style of football. They've lost games 3-2 and 4-3, and maybe it's the openness that's cost them a little bit. They've actually scored 24 goals, a little bit more in that win-or-bust category. But goals between now and the end of the season, every single one could count.
Yeah, goals are really vital. I actually seen Wexford Utes just after the break when they played against Derry City, and to be honest with you, they deserved to win that game. They created a number of chances, and I think at this level, look, you know, playing open can be great, but you've got to make sure you keep the door shut at the back and not conceding goals. And if you look at any league table across the world, Chris, you know, the teams at the top will also be the teams that concede the least goals. And that's something that you really got to work on, you know.
Well, let's hope it doesn't boil down to goal difference. Currently, Finn Harps are minus 19, Wexford minus 23. So with 11 games left for Harps or so, I mean, that difference between the clubs of four goals is not a lot with so many matches left.
Well, 11 games is a long way to go. And as I say, that gap is 5 points. They've just got to focus on staying in front of the Wexford youth. But they need to pick up a point. They need to pick up a result that's going to bolster them, because, you know, they've now lost four in the bounce. That begins to get into the mentality. It begins to make things much more difficult, and pressure builds. And so that has to stop. And that's why I think sort of this weekend off will have done them no harm whatsoever.
Turning to the FAI Cup, the Irish Male FAI Cup, and I think fair to say that it's lost a bit of its glamour and appeal, and certainly I would feel that maybe there's too many non-league or so-called non-league teams in it. We don't have enough big games. You know, you look through this third round fixture list, Bowes and Derry was one of the better games, and yet, you know, I think the attendance there wasn't great. St. Pat's and Limerick, less than 1,000 people at it on Friday night. I know there was a counter-attraction of Manchester United on the television, but the third round of the Cup, Limerick unbeaten in the First Division, Pat's, well, mid-table, but the Cup is probably their best hope of Europe. It hasn't been grabbing the public's attention.
No, it hasn't. And as you say, I think they've tried to, you know, increase the number of non-league teams getting into the competition. Ultimately, that weakens the quality, you know. And I think you're right. I don't think there's been any really outstanding ties. Like, you know, I remember when I was managing Dundalk, you know, we drew Bohemians in the first round of the Cup. It was a Bohemians. We drew St. Pat's in the first round of the Cup, and they were big games and on TV, and people were interested in them. Unfortunately, this year, you know, it's been a difficult. It hasn't really. The Cup hasn't caught fire as such. You know, you had the big shock probably at the weekend was Wexford Youth beating Sligo Rovers 2-1. You know, that was a shock. But you had Shamrock Rovers, Derry, you know, Cork, some Pats all going through it. And the Pats result, again, just highlights the difference between the First Division and the Premier Division. Limerick have been running at a canter all season. And as you say, Pats have been very much hit and miss, very much stuck in that mid-table sort of mediocrity. I think they're just below Sligo Rovers at 33 points, and yet they won that game quite handily. So that highlights the difference. And that's, going back to Harps, that's why it's so important that they stay in the division this year, because they will have learned so much this year. They'll have been more experienced, much more organised and prepared for what's going to happen. And that's why the likes of Bray, you know, by hook or by crook, keep themselves in the Premier Division every year, you know.
Right, let's move on to European matters. 30,000 at the Aviva Stadium, Dundalk. Pretty much everybody agreeing that the scoreline in the end was pretty much unfair, I think, to say the least. There was a disputed penalty, and that second goal, a real killer punch. They shouldn't have lost possession deep into stoppage time. On the plus side, though, for much of the game, they showed that they can compete fairly well, and maybe the gap isn't as big as some people make it out to be.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I think on the night, they competed really, really well. I think, you know, they put up a great show. Legia Warsaw wouldn't be one of the top European clubs, but I certainly think that Dundalk did the league really, really proud. The penalty, although it was harsh, I've seen those given. I've seen those given time and time again in our own league. And, you know, I know the boy, his hand was behind his back, and I think the boy probably knew what he was doing, but when you're wanting their team to do well, it's obviously, it was a sucker blow. And as you say, the last goal, that's probably going to cost them. I think at that stage, probably Dundalk should have taken the 1-0, kept the game, you know, not give the ball away, keep the ball, and go there knowing that, you know, if they could nick a goal, then suddenly the pressure would be on Legia Warsaw. But I think at 2-0, it's probably a big ask. Having said that, Dundalk are very, very capable of going away and scoring. I think they've done that all year in Europe. For me, it was great to see such a big crowd, and it just shows you that, you know, when a club in this country gets it right and gets the players full time and puts the right effort into it, that we can compete and we can produce players that can play at this level, you know.
Well, I know there were Finn Harps fans up in Dublin for the game. I'm sure there were Derry City, Sligo Rovers, the League of Ireland community coming out in force. And if you look at the fixtures, I mean, 30,000, it's a decent crowd, and it shows the appetite is there. If a team could make that breakthrough to the Champions League, you'd probably have sellouts in Dublin on a regular basis.
There's no doubt about it. There's the appetite. I think if you look at the number of people that leave every Saturday morning or every Friday evening to go over to England to watch Premier League football, you know, and that's probably the reason. I don't know if you remember about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, it was muted that a consortium were trying to bring a Premier League team and base them in Dublin and operate like that. So I think as a league, as a club, we need to look to that. We need to make sure that we improve the standards on the league year on year. We need to get more full-time players, more full-time clubs, so that our league becomes more competitive, and then our clubs can do what Dundalk, you know, have come close to doing in Europe this year and break it into the Champions League. You've only got to go and look at the likes of Rosenborg, who broke into it, I think, about 12 years ago and have been in it ever since. Mm. Well, if you can break that barrier, it really does set your club up for a long, long time.
And it will be a real shot in the arm for the league. As you mentioned, Rosenborg made that breakthrough, and if it happened here at Dundalk, with the financial rewards being so great, one would suspect that they would almost buy the league title for the next few years. But then you create another problem, because they'll be so far ahead of the rest of the league. You know, even looking at what they're going to get out of the Europa League now, they've got those matches there to look forward to, and those group games. The gulf between them and a club like Finn Harps, we're talking about them getting out of Europe something maybe 10, 12 times the turnover of Harps for an entire season.
No doubt about it. But on the positive side, and this is the way I would like to look at that, then you're challenging the other clubs in the league to come up to that standard. You know, I think if you look back to 2002, 2003, and 2004, when Shelburne were parading in Europe, it really brought the likes of Drogheda got their act together, Cork City got their act together for a while, Derry City got their act together, even Sligo Rovers got their act together. Now, I know one or two of those clubs probably overspent, but I think they've learned from those lessons. I'm a great believer in that, you know, a professional football league, you go and you be the best team you can be, set the standards, and it's up to everybody else to be in your coattails. And that's why you have to be innovative in your coaching, innovative in your scouting, and innovative in how you run your football club. And I think it would do no harm for the league if Dundalk are going to set... They've already set the pace for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's up to the likes of Shamrock Rovers, Sligo and Cork to go and chase them and see if they can, you know, not make it easy for them.
And finally, Sean, great credit to the Dundalk players and also their manager. Dundalk have gone on quite a journey. A few years ago, they were struggling.
Yeah, a few years ago, it just shows you, because, you know, financially they were on the floor. They obviously get one or two new directors in. Stephen comes in, does a really good job, and has recruited really cleverly over a 2 or 3 year period, and has got a team now that's really super fit. They seem to be playing for each other, and they're a credit to him, and they're a credit to the town. And, you know, Dundalk is a club that I've managed, a fantastic football club, really great supporters, a really great tradition and history there at the ground, and you can feel it whenever you walk in, you know, and hopefully this money will enable them to, you know, put some more money back into their ground and obviously keep progressing the football side of the business the way they've been doing.